Welcome to the Podcast Discovery Show, the podcast that's about other podcasts, where every single week we have a book club style discussion about a show that we recommended last week. And at the end of the episode, we're going to recommend a brand new show and we want you to go check it out. And then we're going to talk about that one next week. I'm Kirk.
And I am Zach. And this week we are continuing our spooky month where we try to scare ourselves with podcasts. And we are listening to and discussing Let's Not Meet in the episode, season one, episode eight, called Attic.
Yeah, so I've actually listened to this show for maybe a year and a half now. I will say I don't listen to spooky podcasts all the time. I do save it for this time of year. Like, I just do. I don't know. It's just in my head. It's just a thing that I do. And I'm not a big true crime guy. I like this kind of stuff even more. You know, just I like urban legends or like astonishing legends, like that show we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And stuff like that. I like that kind of stuff. Or Spooked. Oh, God. The narrative podcasts get me so good. But it's a scary narrative podcast.
Scarative.
There you go. But this show is one that I've wanted to talk about, but I wanted to wait for spooky season to be able to talk about it. It's hosted by Andrew Tate. It's a great indie podcast, just like us. And I really like his... I will say this. I've listened to a lot of podcasts like this, and it's really difficult to not get in like a weird rhythm when you're reading something like that.
Yeah, definitely
like,
is.
I found one where I really liked the guy's voice and he's telling a story, but there was this cadence to it and I just couldn't. It takes me out of the immersion so bad.
Yeah, I could see that. No, I think that is one of the things that after listening to a billion podcasts, you start to pick up on like the little details. And so, yeah, having somebody that you enjoy how they present a story and you aren't taken out of the immersion by how they're reading it. And some of the small stuff like kind of the sound design and just some of the small elements people will put into a show really do end up kind of mattering. And I feel like that is something that since that's what we try and do for our shows, just listen to shows, you do start to pick up on that. And I feel like it's the same with like audiobooks and stuff too, where sometimes you'll have a reader who just, it doesn't click with you and then you have a hard time hearing it. And yeah, this show is not anything like that.
No, I like Andrew's voice and he had a special guest on this episode. Her name is Sapphire. She has a YouTube channel and a podcast called, what is it? Something Scary?
I think so.
Is the name of, at least that's the name of her podcast. I think she has like different named stuff on YouTube, but, she was really good at storytelling too. Like,
yeah,
that's why I picked this one because I actually had reached out to him on Twitter. I'm like, hey, what's your scariest episode? And he kind of pushed it off to his fans. I'm not going to lie. He's like, hey guys, what do you think is the scariest one? And they put a bunch of theirs and I listened to a lot of them and, I found this one and I'm like, I like that there's two narrators for one. So you get that little bit of a, you know, break in between and you get the female voice and the male voice. I really like that. And then I like the stories. These are pretty good stories. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know until listening to this show for a while that Let's Not Meet was a subreddit. I didn't know that's what it was. I didn't know that's where it came from.
Yeah, and I think they're fully embracing that, correct? I think they're
yes.
Like, I almost think like the title one for this is called Attic and it's from a post called Invited Into His Attic or whatever. I feel like I read it. Like, I feel like I read it a long time ago. And it's just, it's weird because, yeah, there, and we talked a little bit off mic about this, but it's cool to see that some of these subreddits have taken on a life of their own. There have been short films made. There have been people who've gotten jobs. There has been a lot of things where people go onto Reddit. They create content for whatever random subreddit they're in. And there's a lot of random subreddits. But because of some of these, people have broken into an artistic category they were trying to get into. And so this is another kind of cool version of that where they're adding an extra layer on top of these stories that people are writing. Because it ends up playing like short horror fiction is what Let's Not Meet is like. And I mean, it's not, there's some that are more kind of like intense horror This one's more like kind of creepy and atmospheric.
Yes.
I feel like that's a key for it being like slightly real, you know, because I'm sure you can find some subreddits that are writing about like monsters or whatever else. But this one, they kind of focus on things that just are like when you think about what the story is about, then it creeps you out more, which I feel like is kind of that atmospheric thing I'm talking about.
Yeah. So you have to suspend your disbelief to a certain extent because this is supposed to be all true stories. So we know that some of these probably are not, but I want to get your opinion as we go through these, whether you think this is a true story or a fictional story that someone just wrote really well.
Sure.
I mean, you can't, a lot of these you can't fact check. I mean, I guess
if
they actually called the cops and there were, you know, depending on the state that it's in, if they have, you know, like Florida, you could probably fact check a lot of things based off of where it was at, but you don't even know what city a lot of this stuff was in. You know what I mean?
No. And some of it is so like, we'll get into it, but some of it's so small that it's not like, okay. And then this huge thing that was newsworthy happened. It's usually like something creepy that was narrowly avoided.
And that's the thing. It's all narrowly avoided. So it's not going to be a news article most of the time. Or anything like that. So the first one, and this one was creepy. It was creepy about the mom that kept hearing some noises and she thought it was her husband, and she was a brand new mom. And so she was kind of like sleep deprived and stuff. And then she finds out that it was some dude that had snuck into their window and was watching her sleep. And his line was, "I like to watch you sleep." And then she screamed and he ran away. He jumped out the window or whatever.
Fake. I think that was fake. 100%. I don't. Okay. Actually, I'm going to caveat that. I think this one is fake unless it is just about her having sleep deprivation hallucinations. Then it's just awesome. You know, then it's literally just like a story of a new mother going through kind of the most extreme moment of her life and having no sleep, literally to the point where she starts hallucinating that doors are opening and closing and there's figures in her house and like things are happening. And so then just good story.
That sounds like a freaking good.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, that's what I'm saying. That's a much better story, right?
It is a better story.
Here's the thing. The thing that broke it for me is like she sees him. She's like, "What are you doing here? Or who are you?" And he just like giggles. He's like, "Eh, I like watching you sleep." And it's like, okay, yeah, right. This is not that any like I feel like a creepy person, why would they not stay outside? Or why would they react that way unless they're like a cartoon character?
And if they're like creepy enough to break into your house to watch you sleep, first of all, if the window's like open, just stick your head in the window and watch them. Like, you don't have to come stand next to the bed, for one.
Yeah.
For another thing, like if you're that creepy, you're probably like a murderer or something.
It would seem that way.
So it's like, I don't know. It's fake.
To add another caveat to this, it doesn't make the story any less well presented. Like it's a really well presented story. It's fun to listen to, but yeah, I don't think that one's real. But
and I hope that this doesn't offend Andrew when we talk about whether we think the stories are real or fake, because it doesn't mean that the stories weren't good.
No, the show's great.
I think it's a fun thing to discuss.
Yeah,
a fun little part to parse about the stories. Then they talked a little bit about I'm probably going to get the order wrong because they weren't in order right on the description, because I was watching the description as I was listening to it. But they talked about the nanny that tried to kidnap the girl through like a voodoo ritual or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that one is plausible.
Yeah, I mean, real-ish. You know, like how do you confirm or deny that some nanny was crazy and tried to kidnap a little girl? That happens. That happens for sure. You know, it's that most of these, I feel like they do leave it blurred enough that you can't really tell.
Yeah, and this one was read by Sapphire. She really did have a good reading voice. Like, she really did. She didn't have any, like I said, no, like, weird cadence or anything when she talked.
No, and I really appreciate people that can narrate. You know, it's very difficult.
It is. It's really difficult.
And that's why LeVar Burton doing what he does every single, all the time since we were children is like mind-blowing.
I saw a tweet the other day about LeVar Burton, and it was just so funny. It was like, why does LeVar Burton throw so much shade about that butterfly in the intro to Reading Rainbow? I'm like, what are they talking about? And then it's like, I was thinking of it, and it was like, I can fly twice as high or something. So he's like throwing shade at the butterfly.
Oh, he's like, stupid butterfly, I can't fly.
Whatever you can do, I can do better because I'm reading books.
I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know what that was referring to either. No, but like,
it's just funny.
It really is an art to having very smooth and immersive reading ability. So this show is really great for that, where if you like to just kind of hear stories like that.
Have we covered LeVar Burton reads, or we've just talked about it a bunch?
I think we've just talked about it. We can cover it because I want to listen to it. Like, I'll listen to it anytime.
I've listened to a lot of it.
He's just so good.
He's amazing. Well, the other day, or not the other day, a few months ago when COVID had first hit, he was live streaming every single day reading kids' books for kids. No, he was live streaming twice a week. One day was for kids, and then one day he would read like a young adult novel for adults.
Just because he wanted to. Just because that's LeVar Burton.
The people that watched Reading Rainbow are now grownups.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was his, I don't know. It was great. It was great.
Just because he's an amazing person.
And then, this one is creepy. I think this one's real. This is just my opinion.
This one could totally be real.
The little girl that was real creepy in school and was saying that she was sisters with that other little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Ellie. The little girl's name was Ellie. And she said, we were in the womb together. She's like, look, we have the same veins. You know why? Because we were in the womb together. And it was creepy. It was like a real like.
There was a couple of these. Oh, it's literally the next one we're going to talk about. There's a couple of these that are directly about, like, is someone crazy or not? You know, and that type of stuff, honestly, that stuff is pretty, it gets me pretty good. Like, not necessarily, like, I haven't been, like, scared with any, like, media really in a while. Like, I don't count jump scares. I'm talking about where it sticks with you, where, like, for the next day you feel unsettled and like you don't really want to leave all the lights off in your house, like actually scared, really scared, not like something pops out and scares you.
Yeah. So that's the same way with me. I don't think jump scares stick with me. They get me bad. I mean, like, I will jump and scream and all that other stuff. Yeah, you do. But it's the atmospheric stuff that sticks with me. And then like, I feel scared alone at my own house with the lights off or something like that. Like The Shining. The Shining, to me, it didn't have very many jump scares at all, but it was a scary movie.
Yeah.
It got me. That one got me.
How it progresses to like being terrifying is amazing. And so actually, I would probably get more long-term enjoyment out of a show like this, where it's kind of like a writing exercise. And people, you have that kind of, oh, is it really happening? Like, is this a true story? And all of that would probably be better for me than like because I would guess that you could do great jump scares on a podcast audio drama too. I feel like because it's just plugged into people's ears. Like, yeah, I feel like you could jump scare people bad with that.
I listened to a podcast, a scary podcast, I think yesterday. And it was called Full Body Chills. It's by the Crime Junkies lady, Ashley Flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was like a pivotal moment, you know, a climax of the story. And they played like a sound effect and it scared the crap out of me. It scared me bad.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying is I bet you could get a lot of jump scares in there. But I like this type of stuff better. And I like mythology and like all that, like folklore and stuff like that. I like stuff that's like creepier more so than like just jump scares. But But yeah, so there was that one about essentially this crazy little girl, but then there was one about a family, and there was an old lady in the town, or I guess in their apartment complex, that would always see him. It would always, like, apparently she would start like cursing as soon as she saw the little boy, like the son. She'd just start going into like a rant. And
yeah, so this mom had two kids, Tyler, who was amazing and an angel and loved everybody, and everyone loved him, and he was the best thing. And she had Jacob. Did you notice that in the story?
That she, like, kind of was like, and then also Jacob.
Multiple times that went on in the story. I was like, dang, this mom's got a favorite. Even at the end, she's like, and Tyler's 18 now, and he's still so good, and he's still such a great boy, and he hasn't changed at all, and everyone loves him, and Jacob's 19. It was like, what the heck? I literally laughed out loud while listening to it the second time. I'm like, that's pretty funny.
What can you do?
This one was pretty crazy, and I think this one's on the line for me. I think it might be plausible.
It's intense because, okay, if this, and there's no way to tell, once again. So the story is essentially the lady always sees the little boy, the angel boy, and hates the angel boy. And then one night she literally breaks into the house with intent to kill the little boy. And so she's trying to break into his room with a screwdriver, and they have this whole like interaction, what's going to happen. Somebody ends up coming and they get her out of there. To me, the part that made this interesting and the part that made it so, like, I mean, that could happen, is she was extremely mentally ill. She was highly medicated, and apparently she had a history of, if she went off her medication, she would start drinking, which would make that worse. And the, like, all the detail on the end of this really made the story for me. So after she was admitted when this happened, because she was off her medication, she apparently said that the little boy reminded her of a child that they had lost. And she kept hearing from them that she had to kill the demon boy because he couldn't be alive. And them, you know, like disembodied voices, a whole them of talking, that's usually like schizophrenia. And so, like, if we're talking somebody that's extremely unwell and off their medication and abusing substances, having a psychotic break, that's not like extreme. That's not like extreme fiction land. That's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that one, it did seem pretty plausible. The only thing that got me, and was my sticking point on whether or not I thought it was real or fake, was the sticky door. the door wouldn't open. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I couldn't tell if that detail was exaggerated to like make that, because that's like the moment, you know, the scary moment. Because she was literally trying to open the door and it was sticking. But like, if it sticks once, okay, you know, but it's not as exciting of a story. So I couldn't tell if that was embellished for the sake of the story or if that was the, because then at the end, they added all that extra detail that really made it, like, as you're hearing the rest of the detail throughout the story, you're hearing, like, you're like starting to get the picture of what's happening here. And it made it pretty cool, but it was a good one.
Yeah, no, I liked that one. That was probably one of my favorite ones because it felt the most realistic, at least. Invited into his attic, I guess the title track for this episode. It was one of the shorter ones.
It was pretty short.
But if this one was real, it's terrifying and scary and really morbid. Mm-hmm. This is a morbid one.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, what was it? This little girl was at her neighbor's house at a friend, which was her friend. And the dad like tried to get her to go into the attic. And she said she just felt uncomfortable. And she said she was little. She barely remembers it very well. And she said his face looked wrong. Like he didn't look normal. So she started going up there and she got scared and ran away and ran home. And she told her mommy or whatever. And then the next day they find out that the dad had got his daughter to go up in the attic or his kid. I don't remember if it was a girl or a boy, and had murdered the daughter, murdered his whole family, then killed himself in the attic.
Yeah, no. And they found out the night of, like the night that happened, because she woke up, or he or she, I can't remember if it was a boy or a girl that he was trying to lure into the attic, but whoever the storyteller was woke up in the middle of the night because their mom was holding them and crying. And then they looked out the window and they saw that there was cops all around the house. Mm. So the mom figured out what happened and went and got them out of bed and was just holding them crying. Once again, pretty cool storytelling. That's what I'm saying. This is a really cool show, and
it's a good story. It's morbid and sad and scary. This one's, I think, the one that scared me the most. And I think that's why it's the namesake of it. It's just creepy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but it ends up like, it really is enjoyable to like hear all these stories, because yeah, they're extremely creepy. And I feel like the stuff left unsaid is almost the main stuff. You know, you start to put together pieces differently than a lot of times you would in other storytelling shows. So it's pretty cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And then they had one story at the end, and it was just called The Face. And honestly, I think this one's definitely real. This sounds like a Florida Man story, dude. It's just some creepy dude in a woman's bathroom is what it was. That's all it was.
Yeah, no, the weird one, I guess, with that was that the security guards didn't care, or they knew who it was. They're like, I could not figure that out. Like,
it's Tuesday, of course.
No, it's Frank. It's Tuesday, and Frank's doing his bathroom check. He does it every week. Just settle down. Like, I didn't get that part at all. But other than that, yeah, that's creepy dude doing creepy dude things. I didn't hear anything that was like, I mean, how they described the face gave me a terrible mental image. But mm-hmm. other than that, it wasn't anything like supernatural or anything like that.
Yeah. So that was the whole podcast. Then Andrew interviewed Sapphire about her show and stuff like that. And it was a good interview. Mm-hmm. They talked about, you know, her starting podcast, her starting, you know, when she started with YouTube. And I can relate a lot, because he was talking about how he hated listening to his old stuff when he first started and stuff like that.
Yeah, ours is behind a paywall now. We don't have to worry about
that. Then you got to be a patron. We've got some new PDS shorties going to be recorded soon. We just found some really good shows.
Oh, they're so good that we went back and forth about, like, should we just like actually cover this? But we feel like we also want shorties to be cool. We want shorties to be good too.
They're going to be really good ones. And yeah, you're going to be missing out if you don't listen to it, because they're really good shows. But I found a really cool and nice. Nice is not the word.
It's very nice.
It's a Let's Not Meet story. I want to see, Zach, I want you to critique me like Simon Cowell. I'm going to read this. I can't look at your face when I'm reading this. Stop it. I'm going to read this. It's not very long. And I want to see you give me your opinion. I'm going to channel my inner Andrew Tate.
Okay, let's hear it.
This happened to me 2 weeks ago. I started university in September, and therefore live in a students-only apartment complex. There are four other apartments in my hallway, and sometimes we just spend time in each other's apartments. I had the absolute horrible chance and ironic chance to lose my keys the first week of university. It wasn't a big deal. I simply paid for another key. After a week in my apartment, I started to notice that some of my stuff wasn't in the same place as I thought that I'd put it. It didn't scare me, because I know I'm a distracted person and I probably did it without thinking. On the day of the incident, I was coming home earlier than usual with another student, Thomas, the boy that lives in the apartment next to mine. We got in, and when I unlocked my door, I saw a woman inside my apartment. Of course, it scared me, but I was about to ask her what the F she was doing here, and she told me, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know you'd be home this early. I'm the janitor. I clean rooms weekly." She then smiled at me and went out. I didn't know we had a janitor, but this kind of explained why my stuff was moving. Thomas then noticed that she had left her keys on my desk and said I should give them back to her. When I took a closer look, I realized that they were my lost keys. The night passed, and I decided to talk to the man in charge of the complex about this. I told him that the janitor had See, I already messed up. See,
I would edit him, that out. You're fine.
Yeah, you're right. I told him that the janitor had lost. Okay, that's why it's written a little wonky. That the janitor that had my lost keys. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So I didn't really lose them. And I asked for my money back. He just looked at me in a total incomprehension and told me, "We don't even have a janitor." I just froze. Who the F was in my apartment for the past few weeks? Why was she there? We didn't call the police because nothing had been stolen, but I still searched for cameras in my apartment, and you never know with these psychopaths. I haven't seen her since then, and I'm glad to know that she can't enter the complex anymore without the badge or my keys. So that's the story. And I think that one sounds plausible and freaky. Yeah.
No, I definitely think that. Who knows, right, man? People are weird.
Give me your critique.
I thought it was good. That sounded good.
Ayo.
We just need some like spooky music underneath.
All right, Andrew Tate, I'll come on your show anytime and read a Let's Not Meet story with you.
And I didn't even get to read one. So Kirk ripped me off.
I ripped you off hard.
I'm going to put out a bonus episode this week of me just reading one of these in out of spite and vengeance.
So no, that was it was a great. So I wanted to go with the creepy one this week, like one that's not like a ghost story or monster story, something more realistic on that end this time. But I am so excited. And to be honest, we're flying into this one a little bit blind because when we record this, it hasn't released yet. But I'm so excited about it. My best friend, Aaron Mankey, who I told how to make guacamole. I don't know if I've told you guys about that time that I met Aaron Mankey and I told him how to make guacamole. I'm kidding. I've told you guys a million times.
We definitely talked to him a couple times. He's a nice guy.
No, but he was super nice, super gracious. We have been able to meet him. But I really love all the work that he does. He puts a lot of thought into the work that he does. And he has a really good team behind him. And he's gotten a lot of attention because of how much work he puts into his stuff. And he's got a brand new show that's going to drop on the 19th, which is, you know, this will be, you'll hear this once it's already dropped. But if you're watching the live stream, this hasn't dropped until Monday. It's called Aaron Mankey's 13 Days of Halloween.
Yeah. So really, instead of our normal format, what we're going to do is we're going to go into this one with you. There's a new show out by the guy who made Lore, and we're all going to listen to it together. We don't know that we like this show, but odds are good.
Yes, odds are pretty good. I'm going to read the synopsis real quick from Spotify. It's really short. Welcome to Hawthorne Manor. As our newest arrival, the caretaker himself, played by Keegan-Michael Key,
nice,
will be providing a daily tour and introduction to another guest. Please remember to wear headphones throughout your stay and make yourself at home. After all, this is it. A production of iHeartRadio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. And it's recorded in like this specific sound format that's supposed to be like amazing. But it's put together by a, you know, Blumhouse is a big production company when it comes to horror stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Grim and Mild, I've heard of.
This one actually might scare you, man.
It probably is going to.
Like, they're, it sounds like they're going more all out into the horror side of this than I was thinking they would.
I'm excited. So we're going to listen to the first two episodes because I don't know how long these are going to be because there's one episode per day for the 13 days leading up to Halloween. So we're going to listen to the first two episodes of 13 Days of Halloween, and we're going to talk about those next week.
Sounds good.
And I'm excited and a little bit scared.
Yeah, no, it should be a fun time.
And remember,
there's always more to discover. Well, since Kirk didn't tell me that we were getting an audition for the show, I had to record this afterwards, but I wanted to do it anyways. So I'm going to read a post from Let's Not Meet. So let me get a couple of things straight. Our little village was the kind of place where everyone knows everyone, and I could count the amount of houses on two hands. We were a really quiet and close-knit community, and nothing ever happened there. Proper out-in-the-sticks stuff. One night a few years ago, my mom and stepdad had gone out to this concert and left me in charge of my little brother and the dog. I wasn't very old, about 14, and I felt really proud that my parents trusted me enough to do that. I thought I was a pretty cool big brother, and I thought we'd be doing cool babysitter stuff like staying up late, eating pizza, etc. I'm kind of glad we did, because I don't know what would have happened if we hadn't. At about 10:30, the power cut out. I didn't think anything of it, because the weather hadn't been great lately, and I figured that had something to do with it. I got some candles out of the cupboard and lit them, and put some of our favorite songs on. As soon as I sat back down, Sonny, my little brother, turned to me, and being the weird little kid he was, told me very calmly that someone was outside. I was a little perturbed by him, but the dog hadn't done anything, so I presumed it was just the neighbors or something. He just shrugged and went back to his drawings. There's a running joke in our house that you don't need a clock with the dog around, because he's such a creature of habit that he will consistently get up at the exact same time every night to tell you that it's time to initiate his nightly go-to-bed protocol. It was about 3/4 of an hour after the power went out when my dog decided that now was the time. I told Sonny to go get the dog his biscuit while I let him out for a piss. Now, our kitchen is an extension to the original house, and so as such has a flat roof that's completely low to the ground compared to the rest of the house. It offers easy access to the bathroom window. As I open the door so the dog could go do his thing, Sonny pushes past me in the doorway and whispers, "I know you're out here, and I'm calling the police." As he turned around, with the biggest, proudest smile you've ever seen on his face, there was a very distinct rustling coming from just above the doorway. I don't think I'll ever forget the way Sonny's face dropped when he looked just above my head. I looked up. The man sitting on the roof above me panicked, tried to kick me, and then ran off the next door's garden, and presumably into the cornfield surrounding our village. I was scared shitless, and Sonny was bawling his eyes out. I ushered him inside as quickly as I could and got a knife from the kitchen. We both went to his room, and I told him to try and sleep while I waited for our parents to come back. It was an agonizingly long 4 hours before they did. My stepdad immediately went outside to check to see if everything was all right. I heard them talking about how something had smashed into the fuse box. Obviously, we called the police, but they didn't come until later that day. They did a search of the immediate premises and found a makeshift bed in a nearby disused barn, along with pictures of silhouettes of us in the shower through the frosted glass. I think it's pretty safe to say the whole experience definitely shook us up. We moved out as soon as we could, but I still shut curtains whenever I can, and I see shadows underneath every door I see. Sonny keeps quiet about it, but I'm not sure if that's just because his brain has cut it out or what. So yeah, weird kitchen roof stalker, let's not meet.